The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Oh, yeah, baby. I know what Norm would say. Storm and Norma would say, give me some volume, Meller. It's Carmen and Yurko. It's a football Friday. We'll take a little brief baseball departure here just for a second. Talk Cubs, Sox. Jesse Rogers is doing pre and post for White Sox, Red Sox tonight here in your home for White Sox baseball. And Connor McKnight and Hoodie are going to be on the call. Home for the Red Sox and the Angels. I heard Bleck mention last night, he made the point that only, I think there's seven series left for the Sox. Only two are against teams in contention. Big series for the Red Sox. I mean, they're trying to hold off the Yankees so that they could host the wild card game. Boy, the Yankees, after that 13-game winning streak, Yurk, they've gone in the toilet. I mean, they just got swept by the Jays. The Jays are red hot. They've won like 11 of 12. The Yankees, I think, have lost 10 of 12. Yeah, so the Red Sox are holding them off.
2-8 in their last 10, the Yankees, 6 in a row, like you had said. 9-1 for the Blue Jays in their last 10 with an 8-game winning streak.
How about that? Against the A's and the Yanks.
That's a flipperoo for two right
there. It's a flipperoo. You're right, Yurko. Yeah. The Red Sox are just 25-26 in the second half. Like I said, they've got the top wild card spot now. They'd want to host that game. The Yankees are a game out. The Jays, because of the run they're on, are like a game and a half out now. And the Mariners, somehow, I don't know how with their run differential, but somehow, and some of the injuries they've had, the Mariners have made a push to within about two games of the wild card.
The Red Sox have played two more games than the Yankees, and they played three more games than the Toronto Blue Jays, and they're all victories.
Wow.
They all have 62 losses. The Red Sox have 80 wins, New York 78, Toronto 77. So the Red Sox seem to be in a pretty comfortable position because their extra games are already in the win column.
Yeah, that is big. So the White Sox have this series against the contender, and then one more series interleague play against the Reds, who are fighting for the playoffs. Waddle's Reds are a game out of the final wild card spot in the NL behind the Padres. So seven series to go. I can't wait for the regular season to be over. Let's bring in Jesse. He joins us on the Corona Hotline.
Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine.
He's putting the pre and post hat on tonight. What's up, Jess? You ready for post game, pre game, and post game?
Yeah, I pictured Jerry Reinsdorf driving home and listening tonight.
Oh, God.
It'll be my first and last time post game.
Absolutely. He's going to call Thomas. He's going to get on a conference call with Thomas and Brooks. I don't understand why Jesse's on right now.
One game, and we're going to lose the rights to the team.
That's it.
I'm kidding. Yes, I'm absolutely looking forward to it. It's crazy. Chris Bryant's here. Kyle Schwarber returns on the south side. Two playoff teams tonight. Like, this is baseball central this weekend. Three of the 10 playoff teams in town. And so many great storylines in Chicago this weekend. Of course, the September 11th anniversary tomorrow, there'll be all sorts of tributes and things.
Yeah.
So it's really going to be an interesting weekend of baseball. First up is Chris Bryant's return. You know, Jose Quintana, Tommy LaStell, a lot of former Cubs on this Giants team.
A lot of Cubs.
But Brian will be front and center. He's going to talk to the media in about 50 minutes. I just said hello to him real quick, and he's obviously excited to come back here and sort of say goodbye to the fans in his own way. I don't know what the crowd will be like. It's a Friday, September, day game. Cubs not in it, but I imagine it'll still be a pretty good crowd.
What do you think the reception is going to be like?
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on.
Very
standing
good.
Ovations. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tributes. Video tribute. They're going to do a whole bunch of things. I think they're going to do something pregame as well. He joked about the fact that, you know, he texted, you know, Ross isn't here. He's still under isolation for COVID. So Andy Green, who he knows, but he doesn't know him like Ross. So Andy Green's going to sort of do the honors with Chris, you know, presenting him with whatever. And then you know, he'll certainly get some standing ovations. You know, I was thinking about his legacy, if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, what is it? I mean, it's a 5-year, 6-year run, is it? I mean, but a World Series and an MVP, what is the legacy?
Yeah, you know, I feel like in years to come, it's going to have a Gale Sayers-like vibe to it. A short but really good career. And in some ways, also and impacted by injuries. I mean, Sarah's had to retire because of injuries. Chris just had a couple wonky years here because of some nagging injuries. So if you think about it, it's 7 years here, but not quite seven, right, because he was traded this year. Four really solid years, 15, 16, 17, 19. 18, a little wonky because of the shoulder injury. 20 was a little strange because he had injuries and it's a 60-game season. And then he's traded this year. So in some ways, it's a four-solid-year career here, and that's it. But it was really, really good. I think one thing he's proven, well, a couple things he's proven, that when he's healthy, he's a dangerous, dangerous hitter. Mm-hmm. But the nagging injuries kind of, brought him down a little bit here and there. That's number one. Number two, in watching all these games in his career, spring training, I saw him in the Fall League. I really believe in the Cubs lineup at its most dangerous, he was pitched the most careful. And I talked to Andy Green about this just a little bit ago. Like, I think he was the guy opponents spent the most time on. Think of Javi Baez.
I would agree.
Okay, don't hang a slider to Javi. Move on to the next guy. That's about it. But I really think he was pitched the most careful. And I also think that's why he kind of got screwed by umpires probably the most. They were nibbling. Pitchers were nibbling so much with him that he would have a lot of calls go against him on the outside corner of the plate. But I really think he took the time of the opposing pitching coach and strategist the most. So really dangerous hitter within a lineup, especially when healthy. I think that goes without saying. And certainly 15, 16, 17, just dominant, right? I just thought he was Hall of Fame, lifetime Cub, and then a couple of the injuries popped up and the contract didn't work out. So that's kind of my view of his whole legacy.
He's plus 380 to homer today, by the way, boys. Is that a good bet?
Well, this is a great matchup. Kyle Hendricks. These guys know each other so well. Andy Green would not handicap. I asked him, who's got the advantage. Bryant's only faced him in live BPs in spring training, which means nothing. But Hendricks gives up home runs. Let's face it, he does give up home runs. It's not a bad play at all. I would take it. Why not? Like he would love to put out a little bit of.
What's the wind like?
Yeah, what's the wind doing?
It's going out, but not much. Not much. I guess 7 to 10 miles center to right a little bit, but it's pretty still right now. Pretty still.
It's only 100 plate appearances. You mentioned Schwarber. I mean, both teams in town. Bryant's back on the north side with the Giants. Schwarber and Sale are both back, but speaking of the former Cubs, Schwarber's back on the south side. Small sample, Jess. It's only 100 plate appearances with the Red Sox, but he's been unbelievable. I mean, he's really had a good year. Before he got hurt, he caught fire in Washington. Then he gets traded. I think he might have had a quick... Did he have COVID when he got traded? Was there like a delay to his start to the Red Sox?
No, he was hurt. He had a knee injury.
That's what it was. It was a knee. Okay. But he's been great in the 25 games or so he's played for them. He's been outstanding. The COVID's like sweeping through the Red Sox, though. What, Sale they announced today. You've got this Hunter Renfroe thing where he told EEI that like they're not testing them anymore, and baseball almost lost its mind saying that's not true. What's happening with the Red Sox?
Yeah, I mean, look, if they don't make the playoffs, the fans are going to point to the outbreaks that they've had, and rightly so. When a guy like Chris Sale, who's missed most of the season, is missing a start in the stretch run, I don't really know the details about the not testing thing. I know people in the league a lot. And I'm sure there's some miscommunication there. There's no way they told them stop testing. There's just no way.
Right.
But maybe they said test at a different time of day, and Hunter Renfroe took that as stop testing. So I really don't know the details. Maybe I'm going to talk to Schwarbs when I get over there and some of the other Red Sox. And obviously Chris Sale won't be there, which obviously good for the White Sox this weekend, even though it would have been a cool matchup to see him on the field. But I'll say this about the White Sox. I think, the last road trip, September West Coast, you're playing without Tim Anderson, you're playing without Eloy. I'll give him a break. In fact, I'm not bothered by their record against plus 500 teams. It's not that big of a deal. It's not like they're 20 under. They're like five under. And sometimes it's circumstance. Is there any doubt that the Sox have as good a chance as any to go to the World Series? Yes.
No.
Is there also an argument to be made they could be out in the first round? Absolutely. That's the beauty of the playoffs. They're damn good enough to go far, and they're also have some moments where they could, show up and they'll be out in the first round. Like, I think you would agree with that. You could be a staunch Sox fan and realize it's 3 out of 5 probably against the Astros. Sure, they could lose.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, because of the opponent, absolutely. I mean, I don't want to think in those terms, but I think you're right.
But if they were 35-30 instead of 30-35 against plus 500, it wouldn't matter.
It's not going to matter in a series against the Astros. You're right. It's not.
Right. It is what it is. They're going to be underdogs if they don't get home field. They may be underdogs with home field because it is the Astros who have a reputation. But I think the Sox have absolutely a great chance as long as what we see tonight, Sunday, and Tuesday keeps going. And I'm talking about Giolito, Lynn, and tonight Rodon getting back to who they were in the first half or whatever, whenever they were at their best. So that's the key. Get those starting pitchers going on a roll here, and the Sox have as good a chance as anybody.
Yeah, that's the key is right, like getting everybody healthy, and apparently they are taking steps in that direction. So nothing left between now and the end of the year, unless I shouldn't say that. The only thing would be potentially having a better record than the Astros so that you could host that series. You're not catching Tampa, so.
And it's somewhat important. Both teams are much better at home than on the road.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's kind of the norm, but this is especially true this year for this White Sox team.
Yep.
So having that game five at home is important. You know, I talked to Tony, I mentioned this to Yurko maybe last week, or maybe you, Carmen. I talked to Tony for a long time last homestand about this idea of going for home field and or resting guys, you know. And he said basically what you're seeing, if you're in the game, we are playing to win. That's why he doesn't mind Liam Hendricks' five-out saves. Like, you think he might save him for October, but if Liam Hendricks is available, he's going to use him. But if Tim Anderson's legs say, I can't go, he's not going to use him. So it's that balance between you will rest if you need it, but if you are playing, you are not playing 60 or 75%. You are playing to win, and that's how he's going to balance going for it and backing off for the postseason. But when it comes to starting pitchers, you don't take any chances. You will lose home field, gladly lose home field, and the trade-off being your starters are healthy.
I see what you're saying, I guess, about the Hendricks usage, but that's the one surprising thing I'd say about some of the things and the maneuvering Tony's done in the last couple of weeks. Like, he seems to be willing to just say, guys on the bench, we're not going to pinch hit him, even though it's a one- or two-run game in the eighth or ninth inning. Oh, but Liam Hendricks get a five-out save. Like, I don't know. I don't quite get those two things. I mean, maybe I'm crazy, but you know what I mean? Like, they seem contradictory in a sense.
Yeah. But at least he's sort of backing up what he's saying.
I know, like, I guess.
If you are available, we will push you. If you're supposed to have the day off and you need it,
I guess,
because Jose Abreu is getting hit all over the plate, whatever, you know, we're going to give you that day off. So at least he's backing up what he's talking about. And it's just this philosophy of if you're in the game as opposed to out of the game.
I guess so.
And, you know, and why you're out of the game. We can agree. But let's at least admit this. It is probably one of the difficult things to manage with a 10-game lead in one sense, but also one-game deficit in another sense, meaning the division versus home field.
Right.
Plus all these guys that are banged up. Like, I don't envy Tony's. He could get screwed either way, right?
Yeah.
So it's a hard thing to manage, and at least he has a philosophy sticking to it.
All right. Yeah, that's a good point. It's tricky. All right, Jess, enjoy tonight. Say hi to Chris Bryant for everybody and Kyle Schwarber, and you won't see Chris Sale. But we'll be listening 6:30 tonight for the pre and the post after the game. So thanks, and have a great weekend, buddy.
You too, guys. Enjoy it. Enjoy the Bears. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, see
you,
York.
All right, buddy.
There's Jesse Rogers. Yeah, he'll be on with us again next week. Yes, we do have Bears. I've got some trends that might make you second-guess your Bears' money line pick, Yurko. I'll tell you about those coming up next.
It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Football Friday. One NFL game down, many to go, thank goodness. But we got the full weekend kicking off on Sunday. Bears play at night, which I like. We can chill, watch some of the other games, have fun Sunday afternoon, and then roll into Sunday night football. Michaels and Collinsworth will be right back on the call like they were last night for Bears and Rams at SoFi Stadium. Early lines open. Bears getting about 6.5, 7. Some money in the last couple of weeks on the Rams, pushing it out north of 7 to 7.5. You know, this is only the second time, Yurko, that under Matt Nagy, the Bears are getting more than a touchdown. They were getting 7.5. As a dog against Green Bay last year, they lost and failed to cover.
Right.
They were just 2-6 against the spread last year as a dog, if you can believe it. That's not good. 6-10 as a dog under Nagy.
Right.
I got a bad trend for you, though. I know you think the Bears are a live underdog this week.
Yeah, boy, I want to hear this bad trend.
Sean McVay, 4-0 straight up and against the spread in season openers, with the Rams averaging a whopping 32.3 points per game in the first week of the season under Sean McVay. And that was Jared Goff as his quarterback.
Right.
Not Matt Stafford. You still feel good about the Bears?
Is there anything else? What were the trends in leading into Sunday night's or Thursday night's game?
Like
the trends were all with the former Super Bowl champion, weren't they?
No, you were on that. You knew it. You called it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the point was, yes, all the trends could look like they're going a different direction. Then you've got to go analyze the game. And then I go with my usual, mantra that every team believes they could win a championship in the first week of the season.
Right.
You'll see best efforts put forward. So teams that aren't supposed to win sometimes do win, and that's why your survivor pools get blown to hell because of week one.
Yeah, like Jacksonville winning last year
in
week one over the Colts, remember?
Mm-hmm. I do remember.
I think it was the Colts, right? That was the only win in week one. And then they never won another game. No, they never won another game. It's brutal.
Yeah, the Minshew moment was over.
Minshew mania. Dalton to throw for 300-plus yards, plus 180. Stafford to do it is minus 170. So the odds makers have a little bit more faith in Matt Stafford. And I can understand that, though, right? I mean, like, they might come out and try to air it out. That's what concerns me maybe more than anything about the Bears tomorrow. I see what you're saying about the championship vibe. You have it at the start of the year if you think you're going to be a contender. But, man, their secondary worries me a little.
The Bears have been getting beat up, too. You know, verbally getting beat up nationally. They're getting beat up. They've got to circle the wagons first week. Great effort. This is where you're going to see it. And, you know, you saw some the play we saw against New Orleans that Javon Wims dropped in the end zone. I mean, you saw some signs of maybe, hey, take a look. They got something going on. I'm telling you, the Bears, this is the best effort you're going to see out of the Bears this year against the Rams. If you don't see the best effort against the Rams, this is going to be a tough year.
Yeah,
this
could be
will
a long
be
year.
A tough year. If they come out and crap the beds on national television, this is going to be a tough year for the Bears. And you know what? I suddenly start becoming a White Sox fan. You know, go Eloy. Go Eloy. Don't get hurt, I mean, that's what you're going to have to do, because if they get embarrassed on Sunday night,
it's only one game, but man alive,
it puts a stink on Hallis Hall like you wouldn't believe.
They got embarrassed last year at SoFi. I mean, it finished 24-10. That's bad enough, but it was 24-3 halfway through the fourth quarter. I mean, it was an awful game for the folks that remember that. I'm not going to play this game if I'm forced to make a pick. I'll roll with York. I'll take the Bears and the points. If you said pick a side, but don't feel good about it, and certainly not one that I will be playing, but I'll say Rams win 24-17. Bears just get that cover. I mean, just get it.
They just sneak in. They hold them to 24-20 is what I have Bears winning.
24-20, all right. A little more comfortable.
Jerk, people want to know real quickly, I've had some calls. Did you already put up your 13-team?
No, 13-team stinger doesn't get released until either Saturday night or Sunday morning.
It used to be released on Friday, didn't it?
No, he does it on the weekend.
Are you sure?
Yes. He puts it on the weekend on Twitter.
Don't tell me when I release my
I will tell
favor.
You because you used to release, used to have it in the
Offer
office.
Offer me the courtesy of that, please, if you don't mind.
I love you, Yurko. Rudy,
this guy, I'm telling you, man.
Rudy's in Northwest Indiana. Rudy Kazuti, what's up?
He had a lot murked in your room for a week. Going back to Rodgers, it's extremely accurate, but I think in McCarthy's last year, I think he had something like 40 throwaways. He's really careful with the football.
He is.
But going back to the official score thing, it doesn't really – I get it where it affects the individual stats of the player, but, 3 years ago, Bears had something like 37 turnovers. How many of those are actual – if it was different, a peanut Tillman strip or – an actual clean interception, how many of those were actually takeaways versus giveaways?
Yeah, versus like another team doing something silly where they couldn't hold on to the ball, right? The defense still gets credit with the takeaway, yeah.
Right,
that was
exactly.
Your point. John's in Naperville. What's up, John?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, you're talking about some of the trends. Before I tell you the trend, you may have said it already. Did you talk about the halftime trend yet or no?
The primetime halftime one, you mean?
No, so what are the odds? Yurko, what do you think the chances are the Bears are winning this game at halftime?
Oh, you mean for Bears-Rams, okay.
Bears-Rams.
Gotcha.
What are the chances the Bears winning? I bet you it's probably plus 260.
260.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm guessing that. I don't know for sure.
If you want to know the official, what PointsBet right now has the Bears in the first half, the money line is plus 215, and they're catching 4 in the first half.
So what if I told you guys this? And the reason why I called Yurko, I didn't mean to...
No, it's all good.
Way away, but I actually hung out with you back at Eastern many years ago.
Oh, boy.
Many years ago. You were friends with my friend Dave Lewandowski.
Sure, Sweet Lou out of Fenwick.
Yep, exactly. Sweet. So anyway, do you know what McVay's record is at halftime? If the Rams are leading at halftime, do you know what his overall record is?
I'm going to say it's really good.
It's 37-0.
That's really good.
he's never lost when the Rams are leading at halftime.
So your point is you got to make sure that the Bears are winning at halftime by 3 so Yurko can win his bet, right?
Exactly. Not only is that, but for a lot of these live players, that's something to keep in your back pocket.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, John. That is a great point. I didn't realize that. John just dropped some knowledge on it.
I didn't know that either.
I did not realize.
Think about that. And he was doing that with Jared Goff the majority of the time.
I know. My guess is most teams in the NFL are going to have good records when they are leading at the half. But to be 37-0, you know,
that's impressive.
Yeah, he's 4-0, like I said, in openers.
Did you see the aberration though of Tom Brady? The stat they flashed when he has, what was it, like 2 interceptions in a game? His record was like 20-27 or something. And most quarterbacks, like when they throw 2 or more interceptions in a game, their record is like absurdly bad.
Wouldn't even be that close.
Almost 500. Yeah. In games where he throws two interceptions or more.
How about he's never started a game when his team has been eliminated from the postseason? I mean, the guy's played like 300 games. It is kind of amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, the year they missed with Matt Cassel, he only started, what, one or
well,
two
he
games?
He started the first, exactly. I think that was week one, Yurk. Yeah.
First quarter.
He has never, you know, Michaels dropped that last night as the game was kicking off. He goes, you know, he's this like start 300, whatever it is. He has never started a game with his team eliminated from the postseason. I mean, when you play 20 years, it's staggering. I mean, what can you say? Guy's unbelievable. You want another really good stat now that he's back and healthy? We'll see how long he can stay healthy because they've had a problem with this in San Francisco. Do you know just how good Kyle Shanahan's record is with Jimmy G, Yurk?
Kyle Shanahan's record with Jimmy Garoppolo.
With Jimmy G.
Is it a 750 win percentage?
It's 24-9, Yurko. 24-9.
Not quite 75%, but it's up there.
But that's so good. And do you know what it is without him? It's 7-27. Those numbers include the playoffs for everybody, just for your edification. That's 24-9 with him, 7-27 without him.
That's why I think he likes Jimmy G a little bit, but he'd like him to be available more.
Yeah.
The 34 games that he missed has really, really put a little...
I know.
On Kyle Shanahan's record as a head coach, it's probably 500.
Jimmy G.
Damn near close to 500.
Jimmy G's also 3-0 head-to-head with Jared Goff. They were division rivals for a while. Now, San Fran opens its season in Detroit against Jared Goff. And the Lions are a 7.5-point underdog at home. You were gone last week, Yurk. Real quick, answer this for me. Because Meller and I were doing the show, I think, that day, and I brought it up. You played in the league, so you kind of know the locker room dynamic. Not kind of. You definitely do. Mm-hmm. I said, is it crazy to think that the Lions could maybe... I think their win total is 3.5. It's 3.5 or 4. Like I said, is it crazy to think that they could maybe win 5 games because Dan Campbell's just crazy enough to scare the bleep out of them for a full season? Like they actually play a little bit better than we all think. Like,
so what's the over-under set at?
I think it's 4, I think they're
total. Can
they
go 6-11? Absolutely.
Is he crazy enough to get them?
It's a combination of him and Spielman being there.
Yeah.
And they've really gone about the business of becoming massive up front.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking to get big up front to kind of wear teams down. So, yeah, it could be a combination of those things that may... I would bet, Theo, why would you cheer... I mean, not that I wouldn't cheer against Detroit or not, but I'd bet that over.
Yeah.
you know, just hoping that they ended up playing teams that played like crap.
Right, yeah.
I'd like to have that win by, you know, you could have it by week 12, maybe.
I know.
You never know.
I'm like, I think he might be just crazy enough where he's going to get like 5 wins out of them this year.
Or crazy enough to where they just go batting in that locker room and they get to the field, they don't know what the hell.
That's why I wanted to ask you. I'm like, how would that work? I mean, he's out of his mind.
I'd bet the over there.
312-332-3776. We'll give you some other over-unders, big picture stuff. That we like for the NFL season. We've made it. Kickoff weekend is here. We're coming right back.
Hey, guys. It's Jericho. Playing 10 years in the league created some battle wounds that I still feel every day. Constant aches and pains. And unfortunately, things aren't going to dissipate. What I've been looking for is something to help ease the pain in a safe and reliable way. Recently, I was introduced to Delta 8x3 Chi, and it's exactly what the good kid needed. The effects for me were instantaneous, and I was finally able to diminish that pain. My friends at 3Chi, that's the number 3CHI, are the leaders in hemp-derived cannabinoid products. They invented a way to make the first federally legal Delta-8 THC in the world. Delta-8 is a perfect substitute for anyone using Delta-9 who want those same great feelings but without the negative side effects. Take my advice. Go to 3Chi.com, that's the number 3CHI.com, to shop for Delta-8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils. Use code ESPN21 at checkout to receive 5% off your order. That's ESPN21. You must be 21 or older to purchase.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
You know, football season means Yurko's Keys. Yurk, do you think we need to rebrand the Yurko's Keys of the game? Maybe we like call it Bare Necessities or something.
Whatever you guys want to call it, I like that. Bare Necessities.
Bare Necessities.
Bare Essentials.
Right, exactly. Know? Like, this is what the Bears need to do. Bare Necessities brought to you by the Bare Naked Ladies. I don't know. There's
with the song, you know, from the Jungle Book, right?
Yes, yeah. that's exactly
from?
Where my head went,
the
Yurko.
Bare Necessities.
That might be a good idea because I don't know for a fact, but I have a sneaking suspicion there may be some Trubisky highlights, leftover Trubisky highlights in the Yurko Keys.
Come on, let's rebrand it.
Bare Necessities.
What do you think? Sound good,
like
Miller? For next week, we're
going to
roll it out. Next week, we're rolling it out. Bare Necessities,
the
baby.
Bare Necessities.
You know, we wanted to save it for the home opener and the Bengals.
Right, but no,
that's
no,
the
no,
one
but
that matters.
I'm ready to go with the Keys.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
The Bare Necessities.
This is Yurko's Keys to the Game.
Fires down the sideline. Robinson makes the catch.
Yurko gives us what to watch for in this week's Bears game.
And it's intercepted. And it's Eddie Jackson.
Under pressure again. Can he get away? No, he can't. Of course it's Mac.
Yurko's Keys to the Game. Only on ESPN 1000.
Oh, my. We've seen Khalil Mack wreck some Sunday night games for the opposition. Can he do it this week? Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Bare Necessities with the good kid. Yurko, how do the Bears win Sunday?
Key number one. Third down conversions. This team sucked at third down conversions last year.
You know it, kid.
Pathetic, pitiful. They need to be better this year. So converting on third down, hopefully at about a 40 to 45% clip, will make that happen for this team. Key number two. Got to be able to run the ball, Carm. You've got to be able to run the ball. And, you know, especially on those third and short situations, kind of ties in with being able to go ahead and convert on third down. But it's important to be able to run the ball. Key number three. Clock possession, Carm. I want to be on the right side of the clock possession chart. If the Bears end up running that ball the way they need to and converting on third down, they will be there with the clock possession numbers. Key number four. Win the turnover battle, Carm. I'm looking to win that turnover battle.
Win it, baby.
Got to win it, okay?
Look, normally you win that. Normally you win the game if you win the turnover battle. Last night is the anomaly, folks. To be a plus three and lose in the NFL, it's hard. But, the Cowboys did it. But if you win that turnover battle, good things usually happen.
Key number five. The Bears sucked on special teams last year, too.
We need Dave Tobe back.
For all the noise about Corduroy Peterson and everything that they had going on, they were awful, except for their field goal kicker. I will give the field goal kicker credit last year for the Chicago Bears. That's the only positive ray of sunshine the Bears have. The return game was awful. The coverage teams were pitiful. We've already seen the preseason where the coverage teams are pitiful. We need the special teams to step up and play. They're about an eighth of the game, and I need that eighth of the game to be on top of its game. So those are the keys to a Bears victory.
Working hot. Yes, Bear necessities
and
with,
next week,
with a good kid.
It'll be the Bear necessities.
Just Ooh. Like the Jungle Book.
There the Bear necessities.
The big Ooh. Bear you. I love it.
Yeah, I like that. And then, but whatever, we could think of something, you know?
Yeah, Bear necessities works, man. I just feel like we needed a rebranding, you know?
Well, we just did it. We did it on the fly.
We did.
I'm a little disheartened we didn't have a pre-show meeting today, guys.
Well, we were trying to get a hold of you, and I knew you played cards last night. Your phone was going straight to voicemail.
Oh, I was up, kid. I was up.
Oh, wait. Well, you know, your phone was going straight to voicemail.
Straight to voicemail.
Is it, there's only one way to do great deals around the country is by being on the phone here, guys.
Mm. That's true.
I know that you guys had a busy morning.
We
this
did.
Morning.
We did have a busy morning.
You guys were in pre-post production.
We were in pre and post production all at once, which is, you know, that's intense.
I mean, we tried. I must have tried you like three or four times.
Did
we did.
You?
We tried.
You tried me three or four times.
Yeah. Karma's
no,
a witness.
We did. We did. A couple
Let me
times.
Go to my phone.
It went right to voicemail.
Right to voicemail.
And then we left you a message at about nine. Yeah. Right? We finally got it a ring. It was finally ringing
yeah,
like
ringing.
On 9:15.
Yeah,
we left
Andy Merkin. Called me at 9:22 today.
Well, there you go. See?
One missed call.
Well, you're not going to have missed calls when it goes straight to voicemail, bub.
Okay,
I'm vouching. Call. Well, you know me. I wouldn't make it up. We called twice. It went straight to voicemail.
Oh, yeah. I'm just looking at the record. The record on the phone.
The record doesn't show if it goes straight to voicemail.
Hold on. Let me get on my... I'm going to email Apple. Fellas, iPhone, Apple.
Swear to God.
What's going on here?
Dealing with this guy.
Dealing with me? Wait till I get there, boys.
I can't wait,
wait
for you.
Wait till I get there.
I can't wait for you to get back, buddy. I can't wait.
Yeah. Wait till I get there.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it's been a magical show to me, so I don't know if we need to do these... Pre-production.
You gotta have. Listen, I hate meetings. You guys know that.
Yeah, Yurko does hate meetings.
So one thing I do is I hate meetings.
I hate meetings.
I can't stand them.
I do. Yeah.
Activity for the sense of activity does nothing for me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Productivity is what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in activity. But productivity is what I want.
But with that said, you like having the morning meeting. Like a quick one, right?
Well, a quick one. Yeah. Just to say hello, how are you? Drink a little coffee. I want to know how Randy's doing. You know, I want to know how the new year was.
Yeah.
All types of celebration. What's coming up down the pipeline here? We got Rosh Hashanah coming down.
No,
the
Yom Kippur. The holiest day of the year for us, okay, champ?
That's where you have to
get tickets yet?
Yes.
Did you get your tickets?
Front row?
No.
We're not.
Family?
We'll be watching via Zoom.
Oh, really?
But we don't belong anymore.
Have you created a list of all the things you need to atone for?
Yeah, I assume you got some things to atone for. I can add it to my list if you want. My list isn't that long, so if you need some...
like to come to the South Side here, Northwest Indiana, and you want to spend a couple, 4 or 5 hours apologizing and making atonement for some things, you feel free to come on down in person.
It's not like being an alcoholic. I'm very open.
What did you do to get banished? You said you don't belong.
I just want
to
know.
Why don't you belong?
Yeah. Why are you banished?
No, we just decided after...
Oh, after COVID, you're like, that's
after,
it with
yeah.
Zoom?
Done with religion?
Oh, you decided when the kids got bat mitzvah.
Yeah.
Guys,
yeah.
I'm going to get the superintendents from a bunch of golf courses down here to come in. You could apologize to each one of them for stealing their range balls.
You better put that on your list, pal.
Yeah, you need to make atonement for being a thief.
Thou shalt not steal.
Steal.
You better atone for that is right.
That's right. You need to atone, my friend.
So Yahweh is watching.
Yahweh is watching. So you're going to do the whole... You watch on Zoom? You're not going to, like, turn the camera off and go watch baseball or something?
Will no,
you
I'll watch it on Zoom.
Yeah.
I'll fast.
All right.
How long
will you answer the four questions?
How long is Yahweh
That's for Passover.
Right? Damn. Do you have a cat filter so you look like a cat when you're watching? Because I think
I do
that
not.
Would go a long way.
No.
When
I've
do you hide the
question, guys?
That's
how
Passover
long,
as well.
All right, okay.
How long is Yom Kippur? How long is the celebration?
Sunset to sunset. So it starts Wednesday night and it ends sunset on Thursday night.
But when you're in temple, how long is the procedure?
Most people go to temple at least in the morning. And Danny probably goes all day.
Boy, man, that's like...
Yeah, Danny will go probably in the morning, then go back in the afternoon. I don't go back in the afternoon.
Yeah, I know Sylvie likes to go twice.
Oh, yeah, sure he does.
Listen, nice and bomb gets things done.
Yeah, like
that's the way Danny does it.
That's commitment. I kind of, you know, I can dig it.
My only exposure to Yom Kippur was from the jazz singer.
Mm.
when Neil Diamond went in and he was supposed to be a priest like his father. Is it a priest?
I don't know.
Rabbi?
Randy?
Rabbi?
Rabbi.
It's Rabbi.
The
rabbi.
He was supposed to be a rabbi.
Oh, I thought you meant in the movie. I'm like, why would Neil Diamond be a priest?
Right. He was supposed to be a rabbi. Like his father, he chose to become an entertainer.
Mm.
And then during Yom Kippur, he comes in and he starts doing the singing during Yom Kippur. So it's very good. But that's my only exposure to Yom Kippur ever. So
it's a good thing he went into singing. I mean, can you imagine the world without Neil Diamond?
I'm telling you. I don't even want to. Top five Neil Diamond songs. I mean, can you? Can he even name just five?
I'm coming to America.
Well, and I used to sing "Coming to from Croatia" today, you know, because that's what we did. We came
I'm
from Croatia.
I'm coming from Croatia.
Forever in Blue Jeans, good tune.
Oh yeah, it is.
I Am. I Said that's Love on the Rocks.
One. They're all good. Are you kidding? Come on,
September Morn.
What do you always call the Jewish Frank Sinatra? You call him, right?
That's who he is, man. He was the Jewish Frank Sinatra. What a talent!
Pretty spectacular.
What a talent this guy.
Yeah,
Frank Sinatra was the best, though.
Yeah, of course. Frank was, I mean, there's never been a voice like Frank, the olive oil voice, baby, right?
Oh,
He never liked the portrayal, you know, because it's assumed that the Johnny Fontaine character in The Godfather is based on Sinatra.
Sure it is.
And he never liked the portrayal because Johnny Fontaine was so sort of meek and
timid.
Weak and timid. And his voice was broken down. He lost his timber and he was crying to The Godfather. And apparently when Marlon Brando slaps him, like that was improvised. You know, Brando was famous for improvising. He wouldn't memorize his lines.
Method actor, guys. Right. He's a method actor.
And he got up and he smacked him. And it stunned Johnny Fontaine. Like, I can't remember. Who's the actor that played Johnny Fontaine? He was a nobody. What the hell's his name? I can't remember his name.
How the hell am I supposed to
But know? He was stunned, you know? And I always love hearing those little, like, pieces of info from movie history where apparently the scene in Wolf of Wall Street where they're at the lunch and McConaughey starts banging on his chest. You know that scene?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He improvised that. And at one point, you see DiCaprio look at the camera. And he's looking at Scorsese, and Scorsese, I guess, is telling him, go with it. Just go. Like, DiCaprio didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Yeah.
And he looks over like, is this real?
Al Martino.
Thank you. That was Johnny Fontaine. DiCaprio looks like, is he supposed to be doing this? And McConaughey's just banging on his chest. I love those little stories. All right, it's time for free White Sox tickets. It's a free ticket Friday on your home of White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000, courtesy of Chicago Cut. Caller 10 right now. You
White
win
Sox.
The tickets.
White Sox.
312-332-3776. Tickets for next week's series against the Angels. Mike North has the bonus play coming up next. This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Chicago's Big Ten team as they return to Wrigley this fall for the first time since 2010. Tickets are on sale now. For the Purdue game, visit nusports.com.
Listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports,
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Congrats to Avery Warso. Avery wins the White Sox tickets. Another chance to win, courtesy of Chicago Cut, and your home for White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000 at 2:45 when Waddle and Sylvie are back on the air. They're at JMO's live in Mokena today with Miller Lite. Go see him and wish Sylvie a happy 50th. And happy birthday to Pappy, our guy Mike North, who joins us now for the bonus play. Another smoking hot episode of The Odds Couple is going up very shortly on the ESPN Chicago app. We got a full weekend of college and pro football to talk about. It's fantastic. Happy birthday, Mikey.
Guys, it's always a pleasure. You guys are always good to me. It's a pleasure to be on in my hometown. Entering my 30th year in broadcasting, been blessed, have a great life, but this is the cherry on the sundae to be on with you guys always, and with, of course, Carmen, the Odds Couple. My mother said to me yesterday, she says, God, you guys are really nice to each other. She almost sounded disappointed in a way. You know, she's old school, you know, and
yes.
I said, no, we get along great, and you know what, I remember when we first started working together, I said, this bonus play can work, and it has. I remember we went on a 14-1 streak last year. We picked a lot of colleges. I didn't know what state they were in. I didn't know who the coaches were. Well, nothing's changed, ladies and gentlemen, because in honor of my birthday today, I have two plays.
I love it.
All right, number one, it's going to be Texas going to Arkansas. Now, everybody thinks of Arkansas. I mean, the last guy that I think of in Arkansas is Dan Hampton, you know, or Brett Bielema.
Yeah.
Texas giving them 6.5 or 7. Texas played Lafayette last week. It was a pretty good ball game, 38-18. I don't think Texas is going to cover the spread from everything I'm looking at. So the first play is going to be Arkansas, whatever points they're giving you. Plus the 7 at Arkansas. Arkansas early will be somewhat of a surprise team. Now, rivalries are always tough. And I remember when I coached for 6 years at Notre Dame and Niles. You know, the neighborhood war with St. Pat's in basketball versus our guys. And you know what? They always became overhyped, and sometimes you don't get the true team. Well, we got a ball game that's going to be a big one at 3 o'clock in college. Iowa State versus Iowa. Now, I was a victim last week of one of the games that I bet, and it was Indiana. They looked absolutely atrocious. They're not going to be the same team that they were. Maybe their head coach has had that brief honeymoon period, and they're going to be back to where they were. Iowa looked damn impressive. But Iowa State also won their game last week. Iowa State, they're playing at home. They're giving Iowa 4.5. And if teams don't get too hyped, if Iowa State doesn't get too hyped up because of who they're playing, and let's face it, Iowa is the boss in that state for the most part. I think that they're going to cover this game also, Carm. So I have Arkansas and Iowa State.
Iowa State laying the 4.5. Yeah, they've lost 5 in a row. They want to win this rivalry, and they've done very well in this spot when playing ranked opponents under Matt Campbell. Very well.
Listen to you, and you got to give me some help with that. That's beautiful because, quite frankly, I mean, I forgot. Hayden Fry's not even there. I don't even think Hayden Fry's not anywhere. I had to check who the coaches are. Of course, it's Kirk Ferentz, who years ago was supposed to be going to the pros, and then he found out life's good at Iowa, so we'll see what happens.
Two coaches in my lifetime at Iowa. It's like the Steelers were crying out loud. Hayden Fry and Kirk Ferentz.
Same colors.
Mikey, happy birthday. That's right. We'll talk to you in a little bit for your odds couple, okay, buddy?
Okay, York, take care. Take care, Carm.
See you, buddy.
Happy birthday, kid.
North with the bonus play, so you got a couple of college games there. We'll have more in the NFL and college on the odds couple. Arkansas plus the 7, Iowa State minus the points. Quick shout-out, York, I want to give to a buddy is actually a friend of my dad's who my dad used to work with. His name is Brendan Nevin. He does a charity outing every year called the Mayo Clinic that benefits the Hope and Friendship Foundation in Lamont. They're playing. I usually play in this event. I can't play tomorrow, but my dad, my brother, my cousin, they're all playing in the Mayo outing, the Mayo Classic that they're going to have out there at Cog Hill. I think they're playing Cog number 1 tomorrow. So big shout out to Brendan and all the stuff they do for the Hope and Friendship Foundation and the Mayo Open tomorrow. And then everybody take some time and reflect. 20 years. Can you believe it's been 20 years since 9/11? And watch some of the specials and the documentaries and just take some time to reflect and think about the tragic events of that day, the people that lost, the people that tried to save lives that day, and all that other stuff as we celebrate a football weekend. You know,
real quick, and I know we're getting out, but I got to send condolences to the Butcher family. Clyde Butcher, former Calumet City cop and U.S. Marshal, passed away. They're having his funeral services tomorrow, so moment of silence for our friend. Thank you very much.
There you go. There's a true moment of silence. York, have a great weekend, buddy, okay? Enjoy the football, everybody. We will see you on Monday to break it down. Thank you for listening, calling, and participating. Great job by Merck and Meller. Have a good weekend. Al Michaels has the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word. On Carmen and Yuriko.
So if Brady, he'll go home and celebrate with a rhubarb souffle.
That was the final word on Carmen and Yuriko on ESPN 1000.